Hi, this is Daniel Garb of the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Look at Me, a movie from Nova Scotia about an insecure bisexual actor with an eating disorder, is finally opening in Toronto. In a review about a year ago, I called it a scathing and humorous self-examination that exposes Taylor Olson, he's a writer-director star, innermost thoughts and fears. Check it out. But this week, I'm looking at three new movies, two by first-time directors, from around the world. They're all about people who work at peaceful and innocuous jobs who encounter danger and even death at work. There's a Catholic nun in South Korea, a real estate agent in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and a sheep farmer in rural Ireland. Dark Nuns, directed by Hyuk Jae Kwon. Somewhere in Korea, a teenage boy named Haejun, played by Moon Woo-jin, is suffering from a serious illness, and the doctors are baffled by his condition. Nothing they try seems to work. But Sister Junia, played by Song Hye-kyo, a Catholic nun, identifies the problem immediately. The boy is possessed. You see, Sister Junia is a dark nun, a woman born with indigenous shamanistic powers. She can hear what the demons say. And this boy needs a full-blown exorcism, but she can't do it alone. She turns to Sister Michaela, played by John Yobin, a much younger nun, for help. A dark nun like herself, Michaela is adept at reading tarot cards and can use her powers to see visions and manifestations of evil. But she's a nun now and a nurse. She said goodbye to all that mumbo-jumbo years ago. And besides, it's expressly forbidden by the church, especially Father Paolo, played by Lee Jun-wook. He may be a scholar on exorcism, but he does not believe in it. But Junia, Sister Junia, is convinced the boy will die unless they intervene. Can she get Michaela to come aboard? Will the church ever let them do it officially? And can two nuns, along with a stammering shaman, defeat Satan himself? Dark Nuns is a pretty typical exorcism horror movie, but with a twist. It incorporates Buddhism and shamanism within a Catholic ritual. There are a lot of quirks in this movie, a lot of weird stuff. Like, why do all the Korean priests and nuns in this movie have Italian names like Paolo and Michaela? Are they Ninja Turtles? And the exorcism seems way off, heavy on the holy water. She pours gallon after gallon on it, on the poor kid, but awfully light on things like Bibles, crosses, and rosary beads. Then there's the biggest problem with all. It's a horror movie, but it's just not scary. So what's good about this movie? I like the way it compares Korean patriarchal Neo-Confucianism with the Catholic Church that's keeping women out of positions of power in the movie. And I'm intrigued by the culture clash of Christianity meets shamanism. But to be honest, if you're looking for a Korean horror movie about shamans and possession, you should watch last year's Exuma instead. Love Hurts, directed by Jonathan Eusebio. It's Valentine's Day in the suburbs of Milwaukee, and Marvin Gable, played by Ki Hui Kwan, is busy baking heart-shaped cookies. No, he's not in love or in a relationship. All his efforts are focused on his career as a real estate agent, and he considers all his clients as his friends. But everything changes when a Valentine's Day letter appears on his desk. Rose, played by Ariana DeBose, is back in town. You see, before he went straight, he used to be a killer employed by his older brother, Knuckles, played by Daniel Wu, who's a powerful local gangster. And killing Rose was his last job. The thing is, he didn't actually kill her. And now, with her back, everyone wants to have a word with Marvin Gabel. There's the poet-assassin Raven, played by Mustafa Shakir, along with a slew of other killers with unexpected names like King, Otis, Merlot, and Kippy. Can he dodge the bullets and kill the killers without harming all the clients trying to buy his houses? Or will he be dragged back into a dark world he thought he had left far behind? Love Hurts is an action movie about people trying to kill each other. Despite the extreme violence, it's told in a light and somewhat humorous manner. Unfortunately, it's also tedious and predictable. The dialogue is dumb. The plot is basically non-existent. There's also a rom-com subplot with various characters falling in love with each other or with their respective crushes, but that seems like an afterthought more than part of the story. So what's good about it? Two things. Jonathan Eusebio is obviously a first-time director, but what he's not new at is fight scenes. He's a highly experienced fight choreographer. And luckily, most of the movie, or a lot of the movie, consists of creative takes on people throwing knives and kicks as they destroy the interiors of houses and video stores. This I like. First time I've ever witnessed a killing using a bubble tea straw. And the cast is appealing too. It's nice to see Ki-Hui Kwan back again after his big comeback in Everything Everywhere All at Once. He's funny. So are Ariana DeBose, Leo Tipton, Sean Astin, and Drew Scott, all of whom have, most of them have short cameos. The whole crew, actually. Is this a good movie? No, not really. But it's very light, easy to watch, and the fight scenes are well done. Bring Them Down, written and directed by Chris Andrews. It's rural Ireland in the present day. Michael, played by Christopher Abbott, runs a one-man sheep farm where prize-winning rams graze on rocky hillsides. His abusive dad, Ray, played by Colm Meaney, sits in the kitchen all day shouting angry epithets in Irish at Michael about all the things he's doing wrong. In the next sheep farm over, young Jack Keeley, played by Barry Keoghan, does much the same as Michael, but not very well. His dad, Gary, played by Michael Reedy, who is Michael's age, Paul Reedy, tries to keep things going, but the farm is bleeding money. Gary is married to Caroline, played by Nora Jane Noon, Michael's ex, and Jack can see his parents are not getting along. Michael hasn't seen her for 20 years, ever since a car accident killed his mother and sent Caroline to hospital with serious injuries. The accident was Michael's fault. But their relatively bucolic lives are interrupted when two rams disappear from Michael's flock. And there's only one place they can go, to the Keeley's farm just over the hill. But Jack, when he confronts them, Jack claims they both suddenly died and he threw their bodies into a pit. They're gone. A very, very unlikely story. And this signals the start of a feud between the two families, involving simmering grudges, sheep poachers, and organized crime. Can their conflicts ever be resolved, or are both farms headed for ruin, violence, and possibly even death? Bring 'em Down is a violent, suspenseful drama about escalating grudges between two families. It's done in that chop-up style popular among some art house directors, where the narrative is not told chronologically and your perception of who is to blame for what gradually shifts as new scenes are shown to fill in the blanks. I like the acting and the dialogue, half of which is in Irish, and it has a compelling plot. The settings are just beautiful, with panoramic views of hillsides at dusk and dawn, and images like Michael carrying a lame sheep draped over his shoulders. There are also some strikingly original tableaus, like a scene with sheep at an auction house. This is a good first film. It reminds me of Frozen River and Winter's Bone, both serious looks at crime in rural settings. But can you tell me, why are all these movies about brooding Irishmen so depressing? What miserable lives these people seem to lead. If there was a bit of humor, love, or lust even, Bring Them Down would have been a lot easier to take. But it's still a good movie anyway. Dark Nuns, Love Hurts, and Bring Them Down are all opening this weekend in Toronto. Check your local listings. This is Daniel Garber, The Movies Eat, Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.